This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's, sunny skies for now, but clouds are threatening, and it's sky's getting a little dark here, even though the sun's still out. But sun's not shining in our hearts, unfortunately, as, you all know what happened. And with me, as always, is the one and only mermaid Anna Knox, live to tape from Centerville. Anna, how you doing?
I'm okay. A little bittersweet with it being our last Sunday, but you know.
Yeah.
How we go? How are those?
Yeah, here we are, and it's another disappointing end to the on ice activities. Looking forward to next year already. Probably going to be some changes on the horizon, but that's for later on to discuss. So, not gonna dwell on things too much. Everybody knows what happened by now. Caps went out in three straight. We're gonna recap games 4 through 6 for you real quick, and then I have some personal thank yous to send out. And I think that's going to be it. Now, I did mention on the Facebook page that some of you out there expressed interest in an armchair GM type of roundtable show that you might want to be part of. I would love for that to happen. So anybody listening who hasn't already kind of mentioned that to me or, you know, kind of signed up for that, do please let us know one way or the other. Preferably on the Facebook page or through a message, or I'm also at Twitter, an at BLULINER98. You can also reach me on my personal email, GLHALLOWED@yahoo.com. Disappointing. And I really thought the way they had played in spurts through this whole series, that there was a chance, and a very good one at that, that they were going to come out of this one. And for a lot of different reasons, it just didn't happen. So just real disappointing. And probably the worst thing that came out of this, of course, was that one of the pillars, one of the cornerstones of the team, was hurt in the first game, never to return, and is actually a question mark as of right now for the next 3 to 6 months. I don't want to dwell on that too much, but I think we all know who we're talking about.
Tommy.
And it's just, I don't know if he'd have stayed healthy. That might have been just enough of the difference, but we'll never know. And now we're looking at an off season where, well, now he said it perfectly. His summer's going to suck. Exact words.
Yeah.
But
you know what? Better to have him out and have the knee surgery and recover now, you know, than having it happen in October. So it sucks all around.
Yeah. No,
but he is getting married this summer, so he will have a great summer. My heart will at some point heal, but I'm just kidding. I wish him the best. I'm not going to be a stalker, although I'll just be in the front row. And when they're like, does anybody No, I would never. That would be weird. But no, I think, you know what?
I object!
Totally. Does anybody object? Anna, the restraining order still stands. Yes. Yeah, so, you know what? I've got faith in Tommy. I do. He's still young. The injury, yes, it sucks. But you know what? Let's just not... I'm not going to look at it any other way than he's got the summer to have a surgery and rest and train and come back in the fall being the badass that we know that he is.
Definitely true. So I think as long as he concentrates on that and he's relatively young still. So he's got that on his side. And of course he's in phenomenal shape. He's mm-hmm. definitely got that on his side. And hopefully it's a thing. It turns out like when Anthony Mantha got hurt, he actually came back ahead of schedule. So
and stronger
and stronger. And so, yeah, if that all plays out the way we hope and you know, Tommy is much, much wiser than he was the last time he faced an injury, a long term injury situation in the offseason. So if he concentrates on his health, then I think he's going to be well. We might be talking about the first two weeks of next season, but probably not really much worse than that. Hopefully, if he concentrates on that and gets back in the game, can get back into game shape. That would be awesome, and I think that's what we're all hoping for here. So, all right. Well, okay. Let's, for the final time, in 2022, let's rip the Band-Aid off. Just go through all the recaps of, the last three games of the series, games 4, 5, and 6. So, game 4 was, back in, Cap 1, this past Monday. This one went to overtime. Let's see. So the opening of the scoring was by TJ Oshie on the power play, 7:15 in the first. His version of the office right in front of the net set up, beautiful setup by Carlson and Backstrom, stakes the Caps to a 1-0 lead. And then a guy we're going to be seeing in our nightmares for the next 2 months, Carter Verhaeghe, with his second of the series, ties it about 7 minutes later. Second period, no goals. Evgeny Kuznetsov, 9:31 in the third, makes it 2-1 in the Caps, and you would thought that all the Caps would have to do is hang on for the lead, and well, wasn't to be. Sam Reinhart gets his first with just over 2 minutes remaining, ties it at 2, and thus to overtime we would go. And that man again, Verhaeghe, pots the overtime winner about 5 minutes in. Bennett and Ekblad on the assist on that one. Pardon me. Probably the most disappointing fact about this game is the fact that the Caps only mustered 16 shots on goal for the 3+ periods of play, and zero, nothing, zilch, diddly fucking squat in overtime. That really hurt. So you're telling me you could not muster a shot on goal in 5 minutes worth of play. Well, you know, that would be why you lost, or one of the reasons why they lost. So, all right. So that resulted in a 2-2 knotting of the series at that time. Back to Florida we go for game 5. This one I thought was the dagger. Oh yeah. By the way, yes. No, I had not forgotten the empty net miss by Garnet Hathaway. Look,
I don't think he'll ever forget it either.
I just want to say this. Anybody out there, and I hadn't seen a whole lot of this, but anybody out there that says, well, we lost that game because Garnet Hathaway missed the empty net. Well, right. He only missed the empty net by literally an inch and a half. Okay. You do better with six guys hounding you on skates With,
I don't want to hear anybody throw him under the bus. He was fantastic this series.
He was terrific. And yes, the tying goal did start on a play that deflected off his arm. But no, I don't want to hear it either. I thought he was one of our heart and soul guys. So I'm sorry. I don't want to hear, you know, Garnet Hathaway lost that game. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. He didn't. He didn't do a damn thing on purpose that lost them that game. All right. So let's just put that to bed. Okay. So jumping over to game five. Yeah, this one was probably the dagger. Wow. This one. Well, okay. So it started off great. Stop me if you heard this before. TJ Oshie on the power play, tip in. Carlson on the assist. Kuznetsov this time helping out. 1-0 lead. Justin Schultz in the second period. No other scores in the first and second period. 2:13. Eller and Ovechkin on is assisting on that one. That's Ovechkin's fifth assist. And Oshie again. 1:15 later, staking them to a 3-0 lead early in the second period. Nice wrister, Connor McMichael, secondary assist on that one. Kuznetsov the primary, and then that man again, Verhaeghe. About 3 minutes later, makes it 3-1. On a wrister. This one, that one was kind of a fluky goal. It was a weird bounce off the end boards that Samsonov wasn't really ready for, but I'm not going to blame him for that one. And then Patrick Hornquist gets another one six and a half minutes later. I hate him too. Why do we always run into this asshole?
Yeah, I legit hate him and want to throat punch him, and he's on my list with Ryan Reeves.
I just, you know, every time we get involved in a really tight knit series, it's he's there. And yeah.
Yep.
I'm tired of looking at him.
Yep.
Anyway, so he makes it 3-2. Less than a minute and a half later, or just about a minute and a half later. No, I got my timing off. Actually, just over 2 minutes later, sorry, 14:44. Sam Reinhart ties the game. We're still in the second period. Before you can say Jacques Robinson or insert name here, lead gone. Three-goal lead gone. Three-goal lead in the playoffs. Poof. Disappeared.
Unbelievable. It was unfucking believable. I mean, God. Yeah. You just can't.
And there are no other words for it. There really wasn't. And so on to the third we go. And okay, so time for desperate hockey. Well, Caps did not show it. They just didn't. I don't know what happened this period, but it just completely fell apart. 3:04 in the third, Verhaeghe again. Why they didn't put a body on this guy, I don't know. His fifth, Barkov on the assist which would eventually be the game winner. And then, yeah, they just clamped it down after that. And then with just over 4 minutes remaining, Claude Giroux with his second on a breakaway. Puts it away, and that was pretty much it. Nothing else to say. They let them back into this game. They had the 3-0 lead with a little bit over half the game to play, and they just let them right back in. They just opened the door for them. There's no two ways about it. And yeah, I mean, they played the right way for all of about 30 minutes, 25, 30 minutes. And, but Anna and I, as we've all said for so many years now, hockey is not a 30-minute game. It's not a 20-minute game. It is a 60-minute game. And you can't play the right way for 60 minutes. Well, then you don't deserve to win. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Not even going to bother to go over the stats on this one. Nope. It really doesn't matter. They gave the game away. That's the only takeaway. So now the Caps are behind 3-2 at this point and facing elimination. Well, you better believe they should come out. They needed to come out, and they did. I'll give them credit. They did at the very beginning of this game. Now, it was a little tentative at first, but there were hits, there were scoring chances. They brought the fire, and I love their effort in the first period. Now, there weren't any goals scored, but I love the effort. Now,
well, they came out strong. They came out ready to play, and
definitely, you know,
that's what got everybody so amped up, and we were so ready. And you know, end result, okay, moving forward. Come on, guys, keep it going. And just couldn't.
Right. No, it's not necessarily all about how it starts. It's like an old-fashioned machine. It's not really how you started. It's how you wind up. And, well, we all know how we wound up. But anyway, let's talk about the actual goals that happened. So Nick Dowd opens the scoring 3:44 in the first. This whole line played great. And more on that in a second. But this whole line, I thought, played great the whole series. Bit of irony in that. I'll get to that as we wind up here. But Nick Dowd, his first, Hathaway and Larson on the assists. Beautiful goal that was set up the right way, typical fashion. They set up the play, hard work, crashing the net. You know, how else are they going to score? But they got it done, and that's all you can ask them to do. They get the lead. Then a guy I'd never, ever heard of before in my life, Ryan Lomberg, hopefully not the guy from The Office or whatever that movie's called, Office Space.
I love that movie.
Pardon me. He scores. Probably the first time he's seen a net other than his last fishing trip. Hornquist and Listerine, I'm going to call him, on the assists. That's how the score ended up being at the end of the second. So a nail-biting, sphincter-tightening, nacho-munching nervousness all around in Caps land faced potentially the last period. Well, Nick Backstrom, 1:37 in, staked them to the lead, and all seemed right for a little while. And then Claude Giroux got a bit of a break on the right wing side, slipped the five-holer right past Samsonov just when we did not need it. Probably the one time he was at fail in his play. He really should have had this one, but it went right through him. 8:18 in the third and tie game. Almost exactly 6 minutes later, 14:17 in the third, Alexander Barkov manages to pot one. Giroux and Uyghur on the assists on that one. And yeah, there was a kind of hush over Capital One in that we all kind of thought this was the nail in the coffin, or so we thought. And then three guys who brought some life into the mix, and if other than the fourth line, probably the MVPs of this series on the cap side. TJ Oshie, his sixth of the playoffs. Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games he scored in six goals he scored in 6 games. This is deserving of, well, if you get a chance to go into the app and see it, this is a thing of wonder. This is really, really, really crazy. Caps had emptied their net. Florida actually had two or three chances to put it away with empty netters and just kept icing it. And I thought kind of maybe just once we were going to get some puck luck because of this. And well, for once I was right. So it starts with Backstrom winning the draw. And if he doesn't win that draw, then there's no way this goal scores. And then it goes to the opposite wing, gets flung on net. Mantha is in front of the crease. It somehow bounces to him. He gets a stick on it. It doesn't go in. It goes off of Oshie and then goes off of the Florida defenseman in a very wild bounce into the net. And this sucker could not have come at a more perfect time. Time of that goal was 18:57, so 1 minute, 3 seconds left. Caps happen to have a power play at the time. And yeah, I really couldn't help but think that you know, maybe just once the hockey gods were with us to, you know, to give us some life here. And so on to overtime we went, and well, it was almost a carbon copy of the game four overtime, or at least, well, the same result, same guy scoring it. You know, you guessed it, Verhaeghe. Now, the irony I mentioned before was that who was on the ice for this one but the entire fourth line that I just mentioned had played so well this whole series. So, yeah, I'm not gonna blame them. I don't think they blew the coverage. There's plenty of blame to go around for the last goal, for this whole series ending up the way it was. And I've already mentioned a certain someone. I'm not going to go into anything now. Like I said, that's for later episodes to discuss. Trust me, there'll be stuff as far as stuff that should be done with this team. We'll definitely talk about that in the weeks to come. So I'm not going to waste much time here on that. But yeah, 2:46 in the overtime. Season over. Verhaeghe right in front of a wide open net. Not much Sammy could do, not much anybody could do. But yeah, that was, yeah, that's just how it ended. And it was just real deflating. I tossed my phone down in disgust and, went upstairs to feed my cat. And yeah, I just didn't want to think about it anymore. So
no. I screamed a big old fuck. Ugh. And
yeah, I think I did too.
I mean, it was just like, I just couldn't. And then, you know, first you, I don't want, you know, you don't want to be like, we were outplayed. We were this, really. Of course. You know, when we go back and reflect on the game, there were things that could have been changed and things that should have happened that didn't happen. You know, can't change it now, but, man, but I will say it was an exciting series. It was exciting, you know, without Tommy, I really was like, shit, they could just go 0-3 and, you know, or 0-4 and be done. They tried. We just got outplayed. I mean, there just isn't anything other than that to say. And it sucks. But I don't know. I mean, like, and then I'm shaking my head because then, of course, you know, everyone wants to be like, we should trade, we should do this, and screw this, fire the coach. And it's like, okay, too soon. Everybody settle down, okay? It's like, that's the shit I can't stand. So that got me off of social media for a little bit because I don't want to listen to it. Unless it's like some logical reason, like you said, you're going to do like a couch round table kind of thing in a couple weeks. Yeah, let the emotions, let the dust settle, and let's logically think about our opinions that no one listens to anyways, but on how to move forward with the team. I mean, then I want to hear it, but I think right now it's like there's you know, everyone's so fired up. And my biggest issue, to be honest, and this will just be my one little soapbox moment, I am sick and tired of people comparing this to the 2018 Caps. You can't compare a team from 4 years ago. Players are different. Players are also 4 years older. It's hockey. It wears on you. You know, so come on. It's like, it's not fair. It's like, you know, you're kind of holding on to this pipe dream of like, oh, we got this and this and this, and it should be just like how it was in 2018. Well, it's not. And it's not going to be. So, you know, stop saying it and embrace the team that we have now, embrace the roster we have now, embrace the coach that we have now, and, you know, move forward. And of course there's going to be players that, you know, we're going to be like, that person should go, that person, you know, trade that person, blah, blah, blah. And then there's people who really stepped up and should be acknowledged. You know, so I'm just kind of like, I think I appreciate, Gil, the fact that you are telling, you know, our kick-ass listeners and other co-hosts on the show, like, let's give it a couple weeks before we can sit down. Because it might just get a little too, not even heated, but you know, let's just, it's too soon. It's too soon to think about 2022-23 season.
Well, this might be a really, really bad analogy, but it's kind of like breaking up with a significant other. Everybody needs a cooling off period of sorts.
Right.
Before you make some big decisions. Okay, let's see other people. Let's go to counseling. Let's get some therapy. Let's divide up our possessions. Let's build that addition. Let's, you know, invite that Guatemalan maid to stay over for a week. Trying to get creative here. Insert your own fantasy here if you want.
What? Guatemalan maid? What?
The first thing that came to me, I don't know why.
Okay.
Anyway, but in all seriousness, though, yes, that's exactly why I want to kind of hold off for a bit. Let's take a look and see what we've got. The last media scrum was earlier today. There were some statements made. I'm not going to go over that right now. It's just too raw. Let's everybody cool off. Mm-hmm. And yes, I know I've made certain opinions about certain players, again, very well known to the gals and guys in the group. So you know how I feel about certain players and where they should be and what should be done with them. But there's other moves that I think should be considered, but again, not going to talk about that here.
Right.
Let's just let everything sink in and, you know, look, it wasn't all that bad a year. And if you think about it in terms of the entire year, there was a point where it was a very real possibility that there was not going to be a postseason at all.
True.
This team. So when you put that into the whole perspective, then I think you kind of have to be grateful. Yes, it's another frustrating first round exit that may or may not have had to be. But, you know, when you consider that, one, there might not have been a postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And no thanks to all the bloody injuries that came to be in the first 2-3 months of the season.
Right.
And two, there are other teams that are still struggling to get out of the first round. I don't have to say who you are. I'm not saying you guys don't have a right to be frustrated. You do. You know, I always want more. I wanted a second round trip as much as anybody, although I don't know how well they would have done against a Tampa or a Toronto, because that's who we would have been slated against, the winner of that series. But, you know, I would have loved to have seen that. I don't know how well they would have done, but I would have loved to have seen, you know, hockey go into late May, but it just wasn't meant to be. And you're right. I think to compare this team to 2018, well, I think what a lot of people meant to say was that, this team is like the 2018, but the atmosphere. I think that's what they might have meant to say. Not that the team is the same, but it feels like that opportunity is there. Since they're a wild card.
When Mojo came back.
Right.
You know, it was like, okay, let's not get all like just because you know, stop, pump the brakes, you know, let's deal with who the team is now. You know, we got a goalie situation we have to consider. We have, you know, there's just a lot of factors, but to see it a comparison, and then, you know, a lot of the reminders, which I appreciate. I love the optimism when fans are like, hey, you know, we went into game six and the Stanley Cup, you know, the in 2018 the same way. It's like, I get it, but yeah, I just, you know, I don't know. I just feel like it's too raw, it's too soon, and yeah.
That and a lot. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, we were luckier than we were good that year, but a lot of things went right that year, and you have to have that going for you. And not enough went right this year.
Yeah.
When you add it all up, it just, you know.
But I also think that if you're a fan and you're looking at 2018 and going into what the hell happened to the world in the last 2 years or so with the pandemic, it weighs huge on just sports in general. You had a season with no fans. You know, you have a season with, in the beginning, how many players had COVID and how many had to be out and, you know, this and that. And that's a lot. It's like we came back, we were able to be in person. The vibe cap one was amazing to see with the fans. And I think that that's exactly what the players appreciated and what they needed. But we're still not 100%. So is the roster and the team 100%? No. Is the hockey and sports and life in general 100%? No. But we're getting there. It's better than it was 2 years ago. But, you know, it is what it is. So I just kind of feel like, you know, we've been through a lot of hardships. And I do feel like, you know, that I hate when people say this to me, if anything's going on and they're like, oh, it's going to get harder before it gets better. No one wants to hear that. But in fact, it is quite true. So, you know, listen, we've had COVID, we've had injuries. There's been goalie issues, you know, whatever else. So now let's go into this 2022-23 season. You know, hopefully no pandemic, knock on woods. Hopefully, you know, goalie situation settles and confidence builds and lines tighten and we get younger players in as well. You know, that would be like my ideal situation, but I just feel like we really have to look at it logically and look back at how rough the last couple of years have been, with just the pandemic in general.
And you're right. You're right about all of that. And not to take a page from your playbook. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer, but I have to point it out. There is a very real possibility that next year, depending on what changes are made and who is available, it's a very real possibility that there is no postseason. I hate myself for saying that, but the reality of the situation and the realist in me says I've got to mention it. Now, does that mean I'm not going to stop being loyal to this team? No. But like Anna just said, when you consider where the world has been, where everything has been in the last few years, we fans have a lot to be grateful for. And And no matter what happens, no matter what 20 plus guys end up taking the ice next October, I'm going to be behind this team, and I think you fans are too. Wherever you are in the state of Maryland, Commonwealth of Virginia, District of Columbia, or anywhere around the globe listening to this, thank God for all of you. You on the other side, the earbuds, the speakers, what have you. Thank God for each and every one of you Caps fans and loyal listeners. I know you'll be behind this team no matter what happens. And I know you'll be supporting us and the team. And I just want to take this opportunity, now that we're winding things up for another year, to thank everybody for that. Now, for once, I thought ahead and put down some names. These are all the people that actually came on the show, took time to come on the show. And Anna, as humble and selfless as you are, you took more of a world view of things, but this last year wasn't exactly easy for you either.
Right. Thank you.
And so we had to make some adjustments on the fly, as all good teams do. And we had a lot of great people come on the show and help us out and celebrate certain things like Women's History Month and Black History Month, and just come on and help us out when, you know, Anna was having a rough time. And, you know, we're not going to get too personal about it, but, you know, life gets in the way of things. And, you know, we're just a little Caps podcast. You know, I do this as kind of a therapy for myself, but
right.
There are there are bigger things in this world. So I just want to take time to thank this long list of people who helped us out all throughout the year, mm-hmm. and probably made it the best year ever for the Triple P. I'll get through this as quick as I can. Somewhat of an chronological order. We started with Tom Gobble, Eric Hayes, Christian Levesque, Doug Lucerarian, Stuart Small, Tyron Waller, Lorenzo Robinson, the loquacious one, Amy Rothenberger of the Packer Up podcast, Fatu Ba, Betsy Graham Myers, Robbie Gross, of course, of the Sports on the Hill podcast, Casey Malone, our own version of Luke Combs, Ronnie Schrantz, Willem Bagus, the Dutch Treat, Blake Allen of the Chirpin' DMV podcast, Brad Silvestro, the Just a Fan YouTuber, Lynn Christian Riegert, Jacob Michael, Grant Green, the Scottish Caps fan, and of course, my beautiful, wonderful wife, Jennifer Hannabon, and Mrs. Blue Liner. And just want to set aside a very special thanks to one person in particular, and that's Cheryl Ann Forster, C4, as I like to call her. C4, why? Because she blows up my phone. I say that lovingly because she literally blows up my phone when we were watching certain Caps games with a lot of her spot on commentary. But I do say that jokingly and lovingly because a lot of her observations are on the mark. And I loved having Cheryl. I just want to say publicly, I loved having you on as much as you did. And you saved us that time where we tried to have Grant on and we couldn't. And you lent us your Zoom account. So that we could have Grant on. Thank you so much for that. So I wanted to single you out above all, even though all these men and women whose names I just read, I can't be more grateful to every single one of you. But Cheryl Ann, you were awesome this year, and I cannot wait to have you on again. And you're certainly doors open for you, wide open for you anytime you want to come on. So thanks to all of you out there. If I didn't name you, it's only because we didn't have you on, but anyone listening who hasn't been on, of course, you are welcome to come on. We make the Caps fan the star. We mean that sincerely. We love you one and all. Anna and I love meeting new people, new Caps fans, and getting to know new faces and voices. And I think we did a great expansion of that. And it wasn't for the greatest of reasons. There was a void to be filled, but out of a really bad situation can come a lot of good. And I think we made a lot of good out of it. So.
Yeah. And just thank you. I've had this kind of hanging over my head in such a good way, to be sure that everyone who stepped up, sent condolences, you and Jenny coming to the funeral in October, and the list goes on. But that's why we do this. We don't just talk hockey. We are human. People have been absolutely fantastic. And out of the situation of me not always being available, and Gil, thank you for your patience with me on that one, we have had fantastic people fill in. And I just think that just let the show grow. The fans, we all, became so much more familiar with each other, and I hope to meet people in person. So yeah, as much as, and I can't even tell you, like, this year has been, it's almost like my head was, in a fog for a good portion of it when I look back at, from October to now. But it's all about growing, it's all about being grateful. And I cannot thank, your laundry list of people, they're just incredible. And it's been a hell of a ride, and I wouldn't want it any other way with any other people. So thank you.
And you're very, very welcome. And of course, we're not done. Caps aren't done, so we're not done. So, come hell or high water, there's going to be a next season. And we will be there. Yep. We will both be there to cover it.
Hey, you're not getting rid of me.
No. And no, you're not getting rid of the show either. And we have a very small but very dedicated clique of we have the most dedicated, most passionate, and certainly the most knowledgeable Caps fans, I think, of any group out there. And I can say that with a bunch of confidence because I've personally spoken with a lot of you out there. And yep. I know what you have to offer. I'm overwhelmed at the outpouring of support that we've had this year, and I can only hope that it continues to grow, like you said, because I think it's just going to get bigger and better, and we're going to continue following the fortunes of this team no matter what. You know, yep. it may be a rough one for a year or two, who knows, but you know, that's the beauty of hockey. You just never know until the game's actually played and the final whistle blows. So I think this is a good place to stop. Like I said, anybody's interested in continuing for another discussion of stuff we've already talked about for the future, please let either one of us know. We've got our contacts out there. Certainly, there's the Facebook page. Robbie Gross is actually one of our moderators, so you can contact him as well. Uh-huh. I think that'll do it. Did you have anything else you wanted to put out there before we wrap it up for 2022?
I did not.
All right. So for the last, till off season anyway, for 2022, on behalf of the Mermaid Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that I actually considered being part of a special trial that involved human cloning. But I decided against taking part because I didn't think I could live with myself.
Nope. But I can hear Casey Malone laughing, and that makes my heart full.
That it does. For the last time for 2022, hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.
It's not goodbye. It's a see you soon.